What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are coming to you live from a couple places on the internet. We're live on LinkedIn, of course, for all your job and needs.
Always first.
Always first. YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Kick. But we did get kicked off of Facebook, so if you're planning on watching us on Facebook, I'm sorry, you're going to have to listen later wherever you get your audio podcasts. We're also there. And if you want ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Now, our buddy Pete is out this week because he's, I believe, doing like a sitcom, like he spontaneously has kids now. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it's called Instant Dad, and he is, I'll tell you what, he's curmudgeonly, if you're wondering.
But I don't know, I think those ragamuffins are going to win him over.
Yeah, definitely. It's like the Santa Claus, but being an uncle. Where he just got,
if you kill an uncle, right, you throw them off the roof. There's a little card that's like, if you find this card, you are now an uncle.
Yes. Do we talk about the Santa Claus a lot on this?
Too much.
I feel like we do.
Too much.
I don't know what it is. It's in my brain all the time.
Yeah. I think the problem is that it's like, it's crazy that there was an entire movie like, we're going to make a movie about murdering Santa Claus. That it's not a horror movie. But
I also think a lot about it, like, that's how all jobs work, where you have to kill the person in front of you, and then you, like, anamorph into him.
Oh, we gotta talk about how jobs work, actually, at some point.
Yeah.
Because the bodies are starting to pile up. That's
all I'm saying. Well, I'm a freelancer, so I got a lot of killing to do.
Yeah. Sure do. And you know who's killing it lately is our guest this evening. She was a returning guest of the show. Previously, she did it, and concurrently does a project called The Comics Courier, but she is launching a new one, a monthly zine that is on Kickstarter now, called The Comics Staple. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany Babb. Tiffany, hello, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, very excited to have you here, very excited to talk about this project. So to run down it, I should have had the window open, but here we go. So you got 16 days to go on the Kickstarter. It wraps up on May 1st. You had a $7,000 goal. You are currently at $18,633. So you are funded. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Funded.
So we had you on the last time before you launched The Comics Courier, which was a quarterly publication about comics.
Twice a year, excuse me.
Halfly? What is that?
You know, I kept thinking it was biannual, and apparently biannual means two different things, so people were just really confused. So now I just say twice a year.
Okay.
I think that's the right move. Biannual is very confusing, because it's either, a fair amount, or, never. I'll never.
Exactly.
Once every 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, this one is much more frequent than that. It is monthly, and it has a little bit of a different focus. So why don't, rather than me blather on, why don't you talk about it? What is The Comic Staple?
Yeah, The Comic Staple is going to be a monthly zine that gets mailed to your house or to your email inbox if you don't want to do the physical version. It's going to be black and white. It's going to be small, like bite-sized pieces of writing. We put together an incredible team of reporters, critics, writers about comics, and the whole, whereas The Courier is kind of like everybody's kind of writing about what they want in the history of comics, The Staple is all about comics coming out that month. So it's supposed to be useful for people who kind of want to get a grasp on what's going on in comics, what comics you should be buying every month, what comics you might want to skip, that sort of thing. It's like a go-to place for all of your comic shopping needs.
So talk a little bit about the schedule there, because like you're saying, you're trying to embrace monthly comics, but comics, of course, have a weird publication schedule. It's 3 months in advance, but it's also of the month. So not to get too in the weeds, but I would love it if you got in the weeds. Editorially, how are you arranging this?
Editorially, it's complicated. obviously, we're going to be covering everything. So we're going to be covering monthly comics, like direct market superhero books, as well as literary books, graphic novels, the whole shebang. Obviously, with weekly monthly comics, the production schedule is a little shorter. So when our writers are getting advanced copies, they're going to have a faster turnaround compared to like a regular like Penguin book where they'll give you the book a month ahead of time and it's less of a fast turnaround. A lot of that is like that short turnaround is why we're doing a zine and not, you know, a beautifully gorgeously printed color magazine because I need to do something that I can print in my house, fold, staple, get in the mail as soon as we can so we can keep it as up to date. It's never going to be as up to date as a website, but we do want to keep it as up to date as possible.
Why is it important to have physical copies, to get them in the mail?
Because I spend too much time online. I think everybody
Yeah.
spends too much time online, right? And
Truth.
it's you to keep up in comics, like you have to check 10 websites, 15 websites. And that's wonderful. Like more comics criticism, the better. But like sometimes you just want like eight really trusted voices to tell you, here's the 10 comics you should be thinking about this month. And that's what I want the staple to be. And that's why it's going to be in print and small-ish. So you can kind of read it on your way to the comic shop or while you're in line at the comic shop.
It's crazy. I love that. I now hate getting email and love getting actual mail. And I
Yeah.
never get actual mail. And I'm getting emails right now. I can feel them
It's
coming into my
painful. It
life.
never
Yes, it's
stops.
it hurts a little. Each one hurts a
Yeah.
little. So I appreciate that a ton. The mailbox excitement, we haven't replaced that in society.
Well, it does feel like there's been a little bit of a turn there. I mean, the big example is probably The Onion coming back to print, where they've had a huge success story there. But obviously, you've had a success story as well with Comics Courier. So, what did you learn from that experience that you're taking to Comic Staple?
I think just the Kickstarter bit, like figuring out the reward system, how to do a Kickstarter. I think that's the biggest thing. The products themselves are quite different. Like the Courier is very much like a premium product. It's beautifully designed. It's like in a nice format. It's meant for like sitting down and focusing on reading it. And the Staple is a zine, right? It's meant to be like tossed in your bag and temporary and obviously. It's just going to be so, it's a completely different production process. Also, because it's monthly, I'm working with the same writers in and out. So the production, all of that is going to be quite different. We're working with publishers, obviously, to get cover art and to find out what books are coming out, to do interviews. Whereas, like, the Courier is kind of just, it's the purest form of criticism, which is just like the writer and the comic. And that's it. This is kind of like more seated in the industry, I think, and I hope that it'll be more useful to people. Not that the Courier is not useful, but the Courier is like a love letter. This is like a
Hate
product I
letter. A
think will
hate
help
letter.
people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a hate letter, exactly.
And it's interesting too, you're talking about how like having to go to so many websites, everything's so like bifurcated and niche. It sounds like you're sort of scooping it all back up to say like, I actually read a lot of comics across the spectrum, and I want news and thoughts on all of the different genres I read. Is that correct?
Exactly. And like, because like, I chose to work with these specific writers because they do read widely and people trust their voices. And what's the point of doing this if we're just covering the same books everyone else is covering, right? We want
Yeah.
to cover the big books. Like, you have to cover Batman, or else, again, what's the point? But we also want to be showcasing books that people would not otherwise hear of. Because that's the whole point of like having something like this, which is, oh, okay, I've never heard of this, but David Brothers says it might be the book of the year. Like, I've definitely got to pick that up.
Yeah. Back when we first had you on before Comics Courier, if I remember correctly, a lot of the discussion that we had was like, wow, wouldn't it be great if print came back? We all miss, in a certain sense, maybe not all of it, but like those Wizard Magazine days is the thing that everybody brings up. And now, not that there's like a flood of it, but there's the stuff you're doing. There's Zdarsky Comic News, there's Comic, which gave way to Comics the Magazine. I feel like there's at least one other that I'm forgetting out there, but like, people are definitely starting to lean back into that. What is your feeling on that trend? Like, I mean, this is kind of what we're talking about anyway, but why do people want this? Why do people feel this need again?
I think we've gotten to the point where, like, there was a point where the internet's great, it's expanding, it's getting even better, and then it got so much worse. Like, I keep explaining the zine as my personal response to the death of comics Twitter, which is like, I used to feel so in the know, and I used to feel so connected to the comics community through the internet, and now I don't. And, like, this is my way of doing it. And, like, the more the merrier. Like, I have a copy of Comics Magazine, like, literally right next to me. And I read Bubbles. Like, it's so nice to be able to sit and read something in print in general. And then obviously we all love comics. So like, if like by next year we could have 20, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through like when you talk about covering the different comics, but like, can you like walk us through an issue of what the staple will look like? Is it going to be like a breakdown of what's happening in Batman? Is it like a deep dive connective thing between a bunch of different comic characters? Is it like recommending a comic that you have not heard of?
Is it top 10 list of like the sexiest inkers currently working?
I feel like I should have that. But it's going to be very short form reviews and recommendations to start off with. Rob Salkowitz is going to do a news roundup of the month before, so you kind of catch up on anything you might have missed. Douglas Wolk will be writing a limerick every issue. I promise you will probably not see that elsewhere.
That's awesome.
We'll do a feature interview with a big book of the month, some cool, exciting book. We'll do a feature interview with the creators. We're going to have a local comic shop spotlight. We're going to have some sort of artist spotlight. And, you know, there's places to expand. There's also not a ton of places to expand because it's going to be a short-ish zine, and that already feels like a lot. But I'm also trying to figure out a way to have a more community space for it, so like people can maybe write in a comment or two, and we'd print that. Oliver Sava has pitched the name of that section as the Staple Center. He also came up with the name the Comic Staple. He's very good at naming things. I'm very bad.
It's great.
So we'll see how it grows, but that is kind of what we're launching with.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've been talking to comic readers, especially younger readers, and they talk about how they're very, it's a lot more like buffet style. Like they don't, I read every issue of a book. I love a book. Even if it's like, I didn't like that issue, I'm going to keep reading it. A lot of other younger readers are like, yeah, I stopped reading that, but I'm going to pick it up this month. I'm like, you won't know what happened. How are you going to know? What are you doing? How are you doing this? And I feel
this is our religion. We need to.
Yes, exactly. I'm shaking them by the shoulders. But it feels like that's maybe what the staple is there. It's the news for people.
Yeah,
like that.
It's whatever is the most important thing this month. And like we probably won't be doing recaps of the same books every month, just because like unless it's like the best book of the month. Then you're going to be in it because someone's going to want to write about it. And all of the writers are choosing their own coverage. Have guidelines, which is like, we want to cover some of the big books. There are a couple books that we'll have to cover, obviously, because we can't miss out on the big books. But the reason I'm working with these people is because they have their own voices and they have their own tastes. And I want that to be driving the zine more than anything else.
I did want to bring up before I forget, every week on the show, we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He works at a place called Shift, which is an amazing restaurant you should check out. He creates a cocktail for us based on the guest or the thing that they're chatting about. And this week he created the staple, which is a great sounding drink. It's rye whiskey, black tea syrup, Angostura bitters, smoked salt, and orange peel. So it's very fancy. And you just sort of mix it together, steep it for a few minutes with the tea. I'm just sifting through here, but it feels like newsprint a little bit, as I guess part of the idea.
That is so cool. I have all the ingredients to make this. Like, I just need to make some black tea syrup. I'm going to make this.
Okay, awesome. Wow. I will send it your way. And again, if you're ever down in New Orleans, check out Shift. There you go. Now, because I read that, I forgot the thing that I was... One of the things that I was thinking about when I was hearing about this, and you know, I have a news background as well, is I feel that pressure of like the 24-hour news cycle. Like, oh God, if you've gone past 24 hours, you've missed it. But something that I've found, and it sounds like maybe you found and partially inspired this, is like you can't keep up with everything. And if people get to news or a take or something a little later, that's actually okay and good even, because there is this constant fire hose of stuff. So I imagine that's at least part of it, right?
Yeah. And like, it's, again, it's kind of the detox of being online, right? We're so used to refreshing and refreshing. And like, if we don't know the news the moment it breaks, it's useless. And like, that's true if you're running a news site. Like, there have been moments in my career where like, it does matter that I know the news exactly that minute. But as like a news consumer, like, it doesn't. Like, if I just read, I was listening to a podcast and some guy was saying he reads the news for 30 minutes a day at the end of the day. And that's it. He doesn't touch the news anywhere else. What? And I was just like, that's brilliant. Like, you do get everything because at the end of the day, you know what the important stories were. And you're not like spending hours just like, and he said what, or like, and what happened there.
Right.
And you're still informed, but it's just like compressed. And I think you're this is kind of what we're going for.
How generations of people consumed news is
no. This is just like a guy who's just like he's just like
no. But what Justin's saying is like back in the day, it was like
I mean, yeah, that's 6 your newspaper, to 6:30,
right? Yeah, or there was just the newspaper versus
your nightly news,
a 24-hour constant stream of everything in our face all the time.
The idea of only consuming the news at the end of the day for 30 minutes is amazing to me. How do you avoid it? I feel like I can't avoid the news. It's coming.
You have to get offline.
I guess that's true. Phone. I do have a radio and all that.
I refuse.
Yeah. I mean, I am. I'm online right now.
What? The internet. It follows us everywhere.
Yeah. Now, you've gone from a twice-a-year publication to now you're doing a monthly publication. Is it going to get quicker and quicker as it goes? Or are you going to start doing a weekly and then a daily and then minute by minute?
Good.
I've done daily website. Like, at Popfirst, we were a daily website, and we covered news. And, I mean, those were, like, high-pressure moments, right? Because you're sitting there, they're announcing something. You see the guy from, like, Variety in front of you typing as fast as he can, and you're like, I gotta feed this guy or else no one's gonna click on my link.
Coffee all over his laptop.
Yes.
Okay. Just, I shoved out the laptop. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Alex do this very same thing. It's maniac behavior.
It is. It's terrifying and awesome at the same time. It gives you that adrenaline rush. Let's talk about the Kickstarter, though. So like we mentioned earlier, or I think you mentioned earlier, you can get the print version or you can get the digital version. Are there going to be any differences there in terms of the layout or anything like that?
The layout will be the same. There will sometimes be a surprise in the print one, like perhaps a tip-in sheet or something along those lines. It won't be every month because I've got to fold and save all these with maybe a friend or two every month, and I just can't add more work. But every once in a while, there will be something special for the print readers that'll be a little different. But the actual zine itself will remain the same.
Yeah. And anything else on the Kickstarter that people should look out for?
We've got a merch pack, which features this mini print by the amazing Jose Pimienta. We've got a screen printed patch, which I thought like really fit the DIY punk aesthetic. And then a great sticker. Hass Otsmanel how designed both of our logos. And I wanted to feature both because I think they're both really good. And so there's merch pack. Then there's a retailer tier, which retailers can get 5 issues a month. If they need more or less, you can also just email me and we can figure something out the old-fashioned way over email. And then there's a sponsor tier for people who want to be in our sponsored section and support the zine.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Cool. Tiffany, this is such a cool project. I'm so excited that it's going to be successful and I can't wait to read it myself. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else people should check out before you go?
Gosh, just the staple and the courier will still be coming out. Our Kickstarter should go live in June, I think. And that's just at at comicscourier.com. And then the staple is at comicstaple.com.
Awesome. And I look forward to your every second zine when that comes out in like a year or two.
It's going to be like dropped by pigeons in front of your door.
I'm into it. Let's do it.
Constant.
Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on. Great seeing you.
Thank you.
Later.
All right, there we go. Once again, that is called The Comic Staple. It's on Kickstarter now. You can check it out at The Comic Staple, a comics news zine, or just search for it on Kickstarter. You know how that works. And that is going to be up until, I believe, May 1st. So check it out. Subscribe, support comics journalism, folks.
I'm definitely doing that. I want some mail.
Me too. I want to read it. I'm excited. Yeah. I like you were saying, I love getting stuff in the mail now, and all of it is junk mail, and it makes me sad.
Honestly, and everyone in the mailing industry, bills, are doing such a good job of being like, this isn't a bill, or you should open this. person. And oh, I do, and I'm like,
surprised. There's like, I'm like, maybe this is a cake lot. In here. Who even knows?
Like, oh, this is probably a check with money. And I'm like, it's not. It wants money. It's a reverse check. I'm fooled.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So yes, check out the comic staple. And folks, we are going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. Ooh. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments and we will get to it. But before we do, we got a special guest this evening that we're going to bring in. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Macris. Brett, welcome. Hello. We were just talking about you and showing off your recipe.
Well, thank you very much. Didn't you hear me okay? Did I fix it?
Hey, you sound
great.
Yes,
you fixed it. You fixed it.
You fixed it. We've been seeing you walk around your house for the last, like, 30 minutes.
I have. I've been, like, trying to figure out. Okay, here's a quick background. I just got my sewing machine back from getting fixed, and I was like, I can't figure out the lighting in this stupid room that I'm in. And I was, like, propping it up against the sewing machine and like trying to figure out how to do this, and I'm like, wait, I have one of those like stupid arms that you can just put your click your foot. So that's
talking about
happens.
This you talking about this right here?
No
You got two of those, my man.
Camera arm, you know, like I realized I had one of those. Anyway, so now I have it worked out. I think I have it figured out.
Okay, you figured that out. So we are bringing you in for this kind of a sad reason, but something that you did want to bring up and we did want to support you in. And there's a good, fun thing at the end there, just to give a little preview for everybody. But do you want to talk about what's going on, Brett?
Yeah. So my friend Michael Garcia got shot. I'm sorry, I'm not even, but that's how.
Anyway,
my friend Michael Garcia. So my friend Michael Garcia, he was a week ago today, was shot and killed. Now this guy was like a huge part of our community. He was a huge part of New Orleans and the culture, and the beer culture, and all of that. He was a friend of mine. He was a friend of most people, and he happened to just, I mean, we live in New Orleans. It can sometimes be a violent city. And for all the love that goes around, for all the, you know, celebrations and the parades and all of that stuff, we love that. But at the end of the day, there's still violence that happens here. So he was on his way to his girlfriend's house. And he stopped at a red light. Literally all he did was stop at a red light. And there was an accident. And the two guys that were in the accident started to shoot out literally over 30 rounds of gunfire. and our friend Michael got hit. So leaving behind a daughter that's in college, a partner that loved him clearly, and a whole community that loved him. And he was a 20-year Marine veteran. He was, ironically, the next day had a community board meeting to go and talk about how to improve our community. Like, he was a staple. He was the guy that you saw. And like, I would be working. I work at shift, and he would come into the brewery where we work. And like, you see him and you're like, oh, I hope I get to talk to Michael while I'm where I hope I get time to do that, because he was just that enigmatic, and he was charismatic, and he was like a magnet for love and for friendship and, you know, all these things. I'm going to get emotional.
So you're making me cry as well.
Yeah. So Saturday we had a really big, awesome New Orleans style celebration for him. A second line. He was in Chewbacca's. He was in the crew of Space Vikings. And they all came out. His Marine veteran guys, they all came out. I posted a lot of this on the Discord, the Comic Book Club Discord. And they, hundreds of people showed up. The news showed up. It was wild. And it was a big celebration for Michael. And we all loved him. And so the family now is, there's a GoFundMe for him, for his family. There's also a meal train for his family. But I'm still working on that. And but the GoFundMe is live. And we're hoping to raise money to help, like, offset all the costs of what it means when a family member dies and what you have to do to get through that. And so that's what I'm here to talk about. And really, Michael was the kind of person that, like, we should have had that celebration for him before he ever died. Like, that's how awesome and loving he was.
Well, listen, thank you for talking about that, Brett. Thank you for sharing. Like you said, you had mentioned a lot of this in our Comic Book Club Discord, and we, of course, wanted to support this GoFundMe as much as possible. If people who are listening want to check it out, I dropped the link in the chat here on the live show, but it's on GoFundMe. It's honoring Michael Garcia, support for his family.
Yes.
So you can search for that. And not to gamify this.
Yeah, but... not to gamify it, but so I've spoken to the person. This is how beloved he was. His landlord is the one that's doing the GoFundMe.
Wow.
So I spoke to the landlord today and I was like, hey, I'm going to go on Comic Book Club Live this evening. And I would love to be able to say that who's watching the show and whoever is in the Discord, whoever in the donation puts CBC in their name, and whoever donates the most will get one of my aprons. So I'm a chef.
Oh.
And, but I also, like, I've sewn aprons, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most recently, Pete's Starbucks apron.
Yes.
Not really. So whoever donates the most will get an apron sewn by me, a shift apron. Or I have two right now, like this one that I've sewn that literally says shift on it in the front.
Awesome.
And then I have this other one that's pretty cool too. But I'm going to donate whichever one they choose, and we'll have to figure out how to connect. But I will know who donates the most with that tagline, CBC, in their name. That the person doing the GoFundMe will contact me and tell me who donated the most, and then you will get one of those aprons.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. Yes, I feel a little bad about gamifying an absolute tragedy that happened to somebody, but...
It's for the good cause.
It's for a good cause, so I'm happy to do it, and I will mention... Looking at it right now, we're at $21,055. Requested 22K. So if people do, I know money is always tight all over, but if people can donate, if they do want to, it's a great cause. You can, again, go to GoFundMe.com/F/ honoring Michael Garcia, support for his family, or just do a search on the site. Put CBC in your name, and Brett graciously is going to get you one of his awesome, awesome aprons, which is really cool.
So that's yeah, 100%.
Awesome.
So thank you, fellas. Thank you for letting me do trivia today.
Yes.
This was trivia with a little nod to...
Trivia with a little nod to the legend, Michael Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's crazy how much that's real. Trivia. Yeah.
Brett, thank you for coming on. Our condolences to you and our condolences to Michael Garcia and his family, and hopefully talk to you under better circumstances soon.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, thanks, Brett.
See you, man.
All right, there we go. Awful. Awful story.
I feel like we met him, or I've been down his shift a few times now, and I think I was in the bar with him at least once. So,
yeah.
Ugh. So sad.
So awful sad. So awful, but very nice and really wonderful of Brett to do something for the family. Not to do a hard pivot, but as I mentioned earlier, if anybody has any questions about nerd stuff or anything like that, you can hit us up.
And I know it sounds weird, but we actually need you to send some questions. Yeah.
Please drop them. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about more sad stuff for a while.
Really sitting.
Really sad stuff. What are you drinking, Justin? What are you drinking right now?
Great question. That was a Larceny bourbon and vermouth. Larceny from... I was just out visiting my wife in Cincinnati, which, if you don't know, is actually right on the border of Kentucky. Where bourbon is, where there's a lot of that.
So the bourbon's a little fresher there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want, is straight from the tap bourbs. You want some fresh bourbs.
How was Sin City?
I mean, it's just like Frank Miller wrote about. It's crazy. Oh, everyone's nice. Like...
Bandages very, all over the place.
There's only one color, really, anywhere. Most of the...
Anybody with, swastika tape tits or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a name of a couple bars and restaurants, brunch spot. A lot of people really concerned about... Oh, Cincinnati was fun. I actually also flew to Phoenix. I haven't posted this picture yet, but when I was in Cincinnati, my wife's doing a show where she's playing Rosemary Clooney in Cincinnati. It's a musical called Tenderly. She's there for the next 5 weeks. That's why I'm slowly graying across my face, hair-wise. But because of that, we went to see Rosemary Clooney's house that's become a museum in a town near where she grew up. And they have a lot of one side of the room is dedicated to George Clooney. And they have some really fun signed pictures of him as Batman that I will post. It's very ridiculous.
That's very funny.
Poster they have on the wall honoring George Clooney, of course, you have a guess? It's Leatherheads. The movie most hated for.
A movie that I forgot existed. Oh, my God. All right. We do actually have some questions coming in here. A quick one from David Quinley. So why are you off streaming on Facebook? We're not. It was just an error that happened. I will fix it by next week.
It happens.
No anti-Meta or anything like that. We love Meta. We love it. Yeah. We love Mark Zuckerberg. Alex
is wearing Meta glasses and has been for years.
I am. Do you guys ever wear clothes? Because I can't tell.
Yeah, it's good. Really good technology.
It's
good for
great.
Society.
It's useful and appropriate. Schreikler says, what's your favorite historical era to see depicted in comics? Classic Schreikler stumper, but I like this one. This is interesting. First thing that came to mind, and this is just because of the one thing, but I was enamored as a kid with the Thing traveling through time, both the pirate, where it was Blackbeard, that was great. And I also loved the stuff with Rama Tut for some reason, where they traveled back to ancient Egypt. That was
literally some of the weirdest Fantastic Four stories.
100%. But I love them.
My first answer is it's hard because a lot of the era historical eras are done well and in equal measure done poorly, but I would shout out Redcoat, and I've been enjoying the sort of Revolutionary War and into the 18th and into the 19th century stuff that they've been doing there.
Hmm. This is a question from Derek Maynard. Thoughts on the new Spider-Verse trailer? I didn't realize that there was a new Spider-Verse trailer. I know that they showed off a look of it at CinemaCon. I don't know if any of that leaked online. It probably did because everything does. But I did see some of the pictures and they look really awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. Will this movie, I'm so dubious of this movie when it's going to come out. Like this movie was supposed to be out, wasn't it? Is it this year or was it last
year? No, it was like 2023 or something like that. It was supposed to come out a really long time ago. And now that actually was my first reaction as well, when they're like, coming out 2027. I was like, it is not.
But it's crazy to have it be pushed off that much. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I don't know. I mean, everybody says this. I'll echo it as well. I think, like, take as long as they want. You know, they're trying to make something that's really innovative and beautiful. I'm going to see it. I'm not going to...
No, like, I think rush it and make it bad. I say.
Rush it and make it... Me need stories. Put stories in me face.
Yeah. And then I'll be mad that it's not at the quality I like.
Yep. That's how...
I'm a fan. Works. I'm called a fan.
Paulo Martinez says, what are you waiting for as far as CinemaCon? So for people who don't know, I should probably just explain this because this is kind of a weird thing, but it is a convention that happens down in Vegas yearly, and it is for the movie studios to present and schmooze with the cinema owners, with the movie theater owners, to usually show off just the stuff that's coming out over the next year. So they can be like, hey, here's all the great things that we're putting in theaters. This is why you should book lots of screens for my movie. They usually bring out stars, pull out all the stops. They have parties, etc. But it's also a trade convention. The thing that gets kind of underreported is a lot of it actually is like meetings and smaller panels about like, here are some issues with the cinema industry. But what gets reported on is like Sony.
Here's how to make the popcorn butter taste better.
Exactly. Versus here's a hologram of Tom Holland introducing new footage for Brand New Day or whatever.
A lot of things, it's something that was a non-event. It was like a business thing that has now become like an earnings call for a Disney call. That not earnings, but...
Well, I don't know when it happened, but like it was a couple of years ago, they started allowing press in, and it's now become a whole thing because of influencers, and they've allowed influencers in as well for the past couple of years. So everybody is there with their phones being like, I'm at CinemaCon. Here's a photo of literally every single poster, even though they're the same posters we've already seen. Here's my out of the theater reaction of this thing constantly. So it's just a constant flow.
I will say, great. I can't tell if I'm frozen or Alex is, but I will.
Uh-oh. Who's frozen? Can you guys hear me? Oh, this is going to be great for the audio podcast.
Was it you, me, or both of us? We'll never know. Let's keep
we'll
talking.
Never know. Somebody let us know in the comments what just happened.
Yes, please tell us who failed here. We said CinemaCon and they shut us down.
Ooh, JT is frozen. It was you. It was you. Right. It was your fault.
Oh, great. Well, great. What I was saying, though, is it's a sort of a fake thing that has become a real thing because now it's the thing that people do and go, that's where you get a lot of news, where Project Hail Mary last year had its first sort of introduction that built the hype that made it the hit that it was.
Yeah.
So it's real.
Yeah, it is real. To get back to Pablo's question about what are we waiting for in CinemaCon, I will say one of the things that already happened and certainly met expectations and this is a very wonky thing to say, but Tom Rothman, the head of Sony, who usually kicks off CinemaCon, usually says something that is like real hot button. And this year in his presentation to movie theater owners, he was like, we got to widen up the theatrical. This is apparently what happened. I was not there, but he was like, we got to widen up the theatrical window. So we're in theaters longer. And everybody's like, woo. And he was also like, also, you guys got to cut it out with all these ads. And they were like, apparently it was silent
Boo.
At that. One guy in the back was like, no. Yeah. But then I was like, yes, absolutely. Apparently he went to it and he's like, listen, I love theaters. You guys are not thinking about the long-term strategy by having half an hour of ads before every movie. It is a bad experience for people and it is leading to a degrading of the theater experience. So he was very clear about like, I say this out of love for the theatrical experience, cut it out. So that to me, I was like, great, that's what we should be getting out of here. But in terms of movie stuff, I think like they're probably going to show off an Avengers Doomsday trailer. And that's probably the big thing.
How could they not literally do that?
They have to. They have to. So I'm curious how soon that's going to come out after that online. And I don't know. This is like very sketchy sources, but there was some report that came out the previous day that they held a test screening of Doomsday and people actually loved it and said it was the Russo's best movie.
I'm telling you, I've been on board. I'm still doubtful. You ripped me about this movie. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I got a gut feeling it's going to be good. I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but I think it's going to be good stuff.
Yeah. We shall see. All right. Easy Reader says, did you watch the Artemis 2 coverage? Sorry, that was the only thing I could think of. No, this is very appropriate because they're the Fantastic Four, basically, right? Like, isn't one of them named Reed?
Yes. And honestly, I was like, have more people not talked about this? That this is basically that.
Yeah.
Because they just went up and then came back. And I mean, I was watching it. I hated to be like Pete, who like wants to drink ooze on the street to see if he turns into a turtle. But I was in a restaurant bar watching the Artemis 2 and then the capsule land. I was like, hell yeah. I was like, show them getting out of it. Show them.
Show that.
I
want to
see them
out.
Change. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I love the fact that it was a nice reminder that tech and science can be like, wow, this is awesome. And we all rally around it being awesome versus the general feeling now, which I was thinking a lot about this morning of like, AI makes me feel bad and it makes me feel bad about liking and enjoying tech. So like, to have something go in the other direction was very nice for a change.
To have something happen that was genuinely inspiring and worked out well, where something was said and then it was accomplished in a positive way. Truly, like, I feel like every other news item is a low hum of stress that occasionally peaks into a, like, ice cold needle in the back of my neck. So it was nice to have just a warm, fuzzy story. To just have, I was like, it just happened and it worked out and it was so exciting, stressful in a way that was the catharsis set in immediately, and it was great.
Yeah. I mean, not that we can have that all the time, bad things happen, but gee, it sort of makes you think that, like, maybe if we leaned into good things and exploration and positivity, maybe everybody would feel a little better. I don't know. Just a thought. And as a follow-up, Michael T. says, did they announce what powers they got up there? I believe the powers of knowledge and science.
Yeah. Respect, and one guy can shoot nails out of his hands.
Yeah, but they're like the little nails, the little ones that like bend. It's
It's really good. Yeah, they're like roofing nails. Really annoying.
And we got one last one here, maybe last one from Scheuchler. What are toys you bought for your kids that you played with more than they did?
Ooh. I mean, I don't know if I've played with the toys more. I maybe spent more time putting together the Barbie dream house than my kids ever actually played with it.
Yeah.
Which is a sad stat.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I could look behind me and see.
I mean, I would say the television show Bluey is something.
Your kids kind of wander away in the middle of the 7-minute show and you're still watching it.
I'm like grinding on it, yes. I'm like, let me watch this. I'll cry. They look at me like, you crying? I'm like, yes. I always cry at this one. It's about going camping.
There were a couple, I mean, this is not a toy, but like there's definitely a couple of puzzles. I was like, come on, kids, let's do these puzzles together. And hours later, I'm sitting there still putting in the pieces and they're asleep.
That is true. My kids, we are a puzzin' sometimes, mostly me. The other thing I was going to say is I'm watching Adventure Time with them episode by episode. And man, that show is so good. So good.
I have to. My stupid thing is I've watched the first two seasons like 4 times because I get to the end of the second season and then I get distracted and do something else. And I'm like, ah, crap. And then I never remember what happened. So but I go back to the beginning.
No, just go for pick up. Because honestly, shit gets so good and intense. And like mid-season 4, it's when they start to really string things together and build this wild mythology. Mm-hmm. It is the best mythology in TV, I think. It's so interesting and smart and funny and dumb at the same time. Like, please watch it. You also, it's almost Lostian. Like, you would love it.
I'm not really a big fan of Lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You only like the last episode? Have you watched Lost or just you just came in for the last ep?
Came in for the last episode. I like events. You know, I like everybody like coming together, watching a thing.
Just God's playing chess.
Yep. And that was the second to last episode. Shut up. Derek Mainhart says, what toys of yours are your kids not allowed to play with?
Sadly, almost none of them.
I don't know. There's a couple of action figures and packages I'm looking in that I'd prefer them not to take out of the packages. But at the same time, if they did, I wouldn't be too upset. Oh, you know what? There's they are toys. There's like I have when I got my job at MTV. Todd McFarlane sent me a signed Daryl Dixon that was like, go get him, kid, Todd McFarlane. And that's still
so nice.
Oh my God, it was amazing. And so that's still in the box, and I will never take that out of the box.
Wow.
So they're not allowed to play with that.
And that's going to be frozen in resin as your gravestone?
Yes. That's going to be buried while they cremate my body. So. Oh.
Good. Daryl goes down, finally.
Yeah. And that's it for your audience questions. Now, we already kind of not exactly did trivia, so why don't we move on and talk about what's coming out tomorrow. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
Lots of stuff coming. Lots of fun stuff. I mean, the big one for me has to be Ice Cream Man number 45.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a little bit of a gap in our ice cream time, but I've been a good boy, and I've earned some ice cream, and so I'm going to enjoy it when it comes out tomorrow. I've missed that flavor so much. I mentioned it before, but Red Coat number 17 is coming out. I really enjoy that book. It's a great book across the board. I mean, Wonder Woman 32 is coming. Let's get on board with that. And I will also say, is it the last issue of Ultimate Wolverine?
It is, yeah.
That'll be interesting. Curious where that ends up. The arc that was added when the book did so well has been interesting. It feels it's Wolverine and Jean in the Ultimate Universe. I'm hoping there's a nice emotional ending to it.
I agree. All of those sound great. I got to give a shout out to Absolute Batman, of course. That's an event every single month, so always eager to see what's going on there. I'm also just interested to check out the second issue of X-Men United. Really enjoyed the first issue there. I thought that was very cool, and I like what Evel Ewing was doing on Exceptional X-Men, so hope that keeps it up. And I'll also mention Night City number 3 from Dark Horse Comics. That is a great series from Matt Kent and David Lapham about a Superman-type character who has trouble falling asleep. When he finally falls asleep, he finds himself in another world where he's the Clark Kent without the superpowers. And it's cool and weird, like Matt Kent always does. Oh, the last one I'll mention is End of Life number 3 from Kyle Starks and Steve Pugh. That's coming out from Vertigo. And that series has just been a ridiculous blast. It's about an assassin who is forced to go home. He's on the run from a cabal of animal head mask killers who are after him, called the Menagerie. And it's ridiculous. It's Kyle Starks playing to his best humor stuff. Steve Pugh playing into it as well. It's just very, very fun.
Agree.
And folks, that is it for this week's show. There we go. Found it. We're a little loose this week. Pete is the one who usually produces the entire show and puts
yes,
it
together, he really keeps it together.
He's the glue. But he'll be back next week once he has been killed himself as an uncle and somebody else becomes an uncle.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be.
Did we talk about that on air? I don't remember at this point. Yes. Anyway, a couple of things to plug. We will have a show next week, a TBD, what's going to happen there, but it should be fun. We'll plug it on our socials. Comic Book Club News, our daily news show, comes out every day, unlike some sort of monthly zine or anything like that. Podvincible, Podvincible, our Invincible podcast. We are recapping the show every Wednesday as it comes out. Marvel Vision, we're talking about Daredevil Born Again a couple of days after it comes out, but trying to turn that around quick. And same for Let's Hear It for the Boys, our Boys recap, which again is back, back in town. But we are trying to turn around as quickly as possible as episodes happen. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. to support this show and all the shows we do. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, folks. Telegraph your brain.